السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over the receivers, we have been discussing the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I've repeatedly mentioned this, that the test of a person's love for Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his akhlaq. We all can sing praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We can recite beautiful poetry, Naat Sharif, in the praise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We can give flowery speeches on Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam's birth, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's youth, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. All that is easy. It's not difficult because you find it in the books. We all can by heart, and we can give those speeches if we wish to. We get scholars of throughout the world calling themselves scholars of Islam. But many of them, we know that there is an accumulation of knowledge, accumulation of facts, that we have a lot of facts, a lot of information with regards to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq. But the test is when we are confronted with a situation where we have to project and our akhlaq, our character in our dealings with people. And akhlaq generally is with people. It is easy to make our salat in a very, very devoted manner, with great concentration, with great meditation, with great khushu and khuzu, a person can make salat, because that is between him and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if he is in the privacy of his home and can be seclusion at that time, there's nobody else that is watching, and this person can make salat like Bayazid Bustami rahmatullahi alayh. He can make salat like Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh. He can make salat like one of the great awliya, because that is between him and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There he is not confronted with somebody who is agitating him, irritating him, or saying something that is going to make him angry and furious. Nothing of that sort. He is in salat and he is making his salat. It is between him and Allah ta'ala. So a person can make excellent salat. But the test is when we are with people, when we are dealing with people, and that is what society is all about. That is what life is all about. That from the moment that a child is born, he is already related to so many people. When the child is born, there's already so much of different relationships that are born. Someone is now the mother of the child. Someone is the father of the child. Someone is the brother of the child. Someone is a sister. Someone is an aunt. Someone is a granny. Someone is even a great granny. Then there's somebody that is a neighbor. And as the child grows up, then somebody is a teacher. And somebody is a fellow pupil. So that is where that akhlaq is now going to be tested. That does this person have akhlaq or he doesn't have. So it's not the speeches that will make that person of good character. The speeches are there for information. But that information has to come into the life of the person so that others may be also attracted towards Islam. The reason why people are not becoming attracted towards Islam is because of our dealings. Whether we like it or not, we have to admit that we don't do anything really differently from the others who are not Muslims. In which department of our lives, or in which avenue, or in which field, do we really do something very different, that where the non-Muslim can see and say, well, this person is a Muslim. This person is a Muslim. It is easy to make a loud and a bold claim. But if a person has to see the newspapers, if a person has to look at the cases at courts of law, and if a person has to just listen to some of the comments and criticism and objections by others, then we cannot just write off all those objections that because they are anti-Muslims, therefore they are saying all those things. We have to see that how much of truth there is in so many of the things that they are saying. When people are going to be fraudulent in the dealings, when they are going to be harsh and hard, when they are going to be swearing and cursing and screaming at the top of their voices at the staff and at everybody else and the customers, when they are going to be committing cheat and deceit in calculation, in addition, in subtraction, in the measurement, when they are going to do all these type of things, then what difference are they going to find? Therefore, it's necessary to listen to the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but with this niyat that we want to bring at least a fraction of that into our lives. We will not be able to reach that high level of taqwa of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his kind of akhlaq. But his teachings at least we can implement in our lives. Because there are many things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose for himself. And many times I have mentioned this because it creates a doubt in people's minds that it's impossible to practice upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings in these days. I've mentioned this in many bayans, but anything comes to my mind, I believe that it may be good for somebody who may be here for the first time. That every time we get this doubt, that how can we follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's lifestyle? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lived in a 2x2 room. When Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha wanted to go into sajda, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to go into sajda in tahajjud salat, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved wife, had to pull her legs back to make place for my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to make sajda on the ground. And yet the heavens and the earth were created for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The universe was created for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Jannat for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But yet that was his life. On one occasion he was going on to the musalla, it was time for salat, and he recalled that there is a coin that has not been distributed as yet. So he went into his house, first he distributed that coin, and then he came back. He kept nothing for himself. Now we will say that how can we follow that lifestyle? So we have to understand that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has left behind for us the Sharia. Zakat, masail would not have been there if the person was not allowed to keep a certain amount of wealth. Otherwise, what was the purpose of having zakat made obligatory in the Quran Sharif? And all the detailed masail of zakat that we find in the Hadith Sharif. All the laws of inheritance, the father gets so much and the son gets so much and the daughters get so much and the mother gets so much. What was the need for all that if there was nothing that a person was allowed to keep? So it shows that we can follow the Sharia. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq in this Hadith Sharif that we have been discussing, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and says, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O my most beloved Nabi, Inna arsalnaka shahidam wa mubashiram wa nazira. We have sent you as a giver, as a witness, as a giver of glad tidings, and as a warner to the ummah, warn them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I have been discussing this Hadith Sharif, I am not going into to what we have already discussed. But then we came on to the Hadith in which Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his akhlaq, who can be more knowledgeable about his akhlaq and his character than his beloved wife Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So we are discussing that Hadith last week. That Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came from Cave of Hira, he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me up, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha put a blanket or something over him. And then afterwards he said, I fear my life. Because it was the first time that he had seen Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam come in this manner. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the words of consolation that she gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is what we are discussing. Wallah, if we can just get this akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his relationship with his wife, it will be sufficient to solve all our problems. Because if the person's home life is good, then it means that he will be good outside too. That is where he gives vent to all his anger and temper and emotions, all his frustration from the outside world. He comes and takes it off over his wife and his children. There's so much of abuse and so much of beating and so much of problems that everybody seems to be experiencing. Of course, we don't say that the wives are not at fault. Many a times it is the wives also who are at fault. They do not want to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also, in many cases. There are few of them who could be tested for sabr, and Allah ta'ala wants to reward them with some great rewards in this world and the akhirat. But the majority of them, there is no difference. They too do not want to please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the husbands also don't want to please Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the end of the day, what else do you expect then? There's going to be quarrels, there's going to be arguments, there's going to be fights, and there's going to be endless problems. Both parties have to submit to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ahkam, then we will find peace in those homes. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. Never, never ever will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala allow any kind of humiliation and disgrace to come upon you. Why? Because she says, إِنَّكَ لَتَسَلُ الرَّحِيمِ. Because you fulfill the rights and obligations of the family members. Those who are kith and kin, those who are related to you. And as I said, as soon as the child is born, there's so many different relationships. Father, mother, brother, sister, grandmother, aunts. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that you are excellent in your treatment of your relatives. That's what it means. That nobody can point a finger, no relative of yours, no family member of yours can say that you have not been kind to them, or you haven't been generous, or you haven't been forgiving and overlooking, that you haven't been accommodating, that you haven't had a large heart when it came to your relationship with them. Nobody can say that. Even though they may be your enemies, even though they have not yet accepted Islam, but then too they cannot point a finger at your character. That was the beauty of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq. Who named him as Sadiq al-Ameen? The same people who had not yet accepted Islam, but they used to come and leave their valuables for safekeeping by whom? By Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Will anybody trust an enemy to look after his valuables? Now here on the one hand, they are not accepting Islam, but yet they're keeping the valuables by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, knowing fully well that even though we have not accepted the deen towards which he is inviting us, but yet we will never find him betraying the trust that we are placing in him. That is the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the sense of talking about very high, or using high sounding words and talking about philosophy of Islamic teachings and all that, when we cannot bring these simple teachings into our lives? Now here we can see that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even when he was departing from Makkah Mukarramah, he was making hijrah. And who was troubling him? Those same enemies of Islam. They had made his life so tight, or they had made it so difficult, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala finally ordered that now you must make hijrah. Of course, there were lots of things that went with it, and there was great wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala why he made Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam make the hijrah. But the fact is that these were enemies of Islam. But yet what did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam do? He told Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that I am making hijrah. These valuables of the people which are in my possession, you must ensure that they are returned to the owners. Now, anybody else in the place of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have said that now that I am leaving from Makkah Mukarramah, take along all these things and disappear from here. How many people have left the country and people are searching for them? They purchased goods on credit, giving the impression that they will be living in South Africa all their lives. And after having built up big, big credits, then big, big debts, Then suddenly they disappeared from this country. There's no sign of them. And yet it was not a question of running away from the enemies. Those creditors were not their enemies. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going away from Makkah Mukarramah because those were enemies of Islam. Yet he tells Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala now to remain in his house and return the valuables of the people. Those people who had kept valuables with him as amanat must return it. Then he must come to Madina Tayyibah. Teaching us the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that innaka la tasilur rahim. You are very good, or your treatment of the family members and relatives is very good. So Allah ta'ala will not allow any kind of disgrace and humiliation to come upon you. Teaching us that if our relationship with our wives, with our children, with our family members is good, then it is one of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because of that, gives the person respect even in society. We do not know what are the factors that lead to respect in society. We are searching for it in post and position, that if people make us trustees, people make us chairmen, people make us cabinet ministers and prime ministers and members of parliament, then we will get respect. Now here we are learning from Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha that if you want respect and if you don't want humiliation and disgrace, so then one of the things of the many is this, that your relationship with your family members must be good. How many people, they will sit front of the sheikh like real lambs, or they will sit front of their ustad like lambs, or they will sit in the masjid making namaz, or they will be making their ishraq and tahajjud and chasht and awwabin. But absolutely no control over their tempers. Absolutely no control. The type of words that they use, it slices the heart of the person who listens to it. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she has done a great favor upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that she related this akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Innaka la tasilur rahim. Anger is something that is necessary. Without anger, a person sometimes cannot make islah of a murid. Without anger, the person cannot make jihad. Therefore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not say that they don't get angry at all. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in that verse of the Quran Sharif, what does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala say? وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ. And they are those who drink their anger. The word kazm used to be used when the people used to fill up their water bags and then tie up the top of the bag when it's over full. So these people, when they get angry, then they put a knot there on the mouth, they seal it up so that they do not swear, they do not abuse, they do not utter or blurt out statements of even kufr sometimes in that anger. They got a control over their anger, they drink their anger. Hazrat Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, he says, if a person is made to get angry and he does not get angry, then he is a donkey. If a person is made to get angry but he doesn't get angry, there's no anger in him at all, then he's a donkey. But if he is approached and he's asked for maaf and he does not forgive, then he is a shaitan. So anger will come. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the different things that we should be doing when we get angry. The person should move away from there, he should sit down if he's standing, make wuzu and all the other things that go with it. So anger will come. But to give vent to that anger, and especially over those who are weaker than ourselves, our wives, our children, our parents, then that is not the akhlaq of a Muslim. So as the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَتَسِلُ الرَّحِيمِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِ. And you carry the burden of others. I explained that last week. Let us go a little further. What can I do when those things, facts come? وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. It can be read taksib or it can be read tuksab. In the first case, it will mean that Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you earn that which is non-existent. What does that mean? It means that you have the capability, you have the capacity, you have the intelligence to go and earn in the bazaars and in the marketplaces that which others are earning. That it's not that you, because you are occupied in deen work, because you are propagating the deen of Islam, and because you are passing on the message of the Quran and the Sunnah, so therefore you do not know how to go and earn in the marketplace. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, prior to his nubuwat, he took the merchandise of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he went to Syria. And he came back with a very huge profit for Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So it's not that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have the capacity to earn. From this it is deduced that those people who are engaged in the work of deen, full time, that is their occupation, then if they are being paid from the Baitul Mal as it was in those days, or as these days we have from the madrasa organizations and masjid organizations and so many other organizations, then it is permissible, because that person is giving all his time to the work of deen, which if all of them have to leave, then we'll have the madrasas closing down, the masjids, no imams, and we'll have no huffaz and no qurras and no alims and no muftis. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't teach, or he didn't go and make tabligh for the sake of salaries, or so that he may get donations, or so that he may get some kind of recognition. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his trust was in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He did it for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure. Nothing, he had absolutely no gaze on any person's wealth or property or wealth or fortune. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put into the hearts of people, and if they gave him some hadiyah or gift, then they too, with so many conditions, he accepted that. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had the capacity that if he wanted to, he could also go to the bazaars and marketplaces and earn. So we must not think that every person is a fool, that he does not have the capacity to earn. Allah ta'ala has given great ulamas of our times, our great mashayikh and great buzrugs and Allah walas, many of them, all day and night, they've got only one fikr and concern, that how can every person become an Allah wala. But it's not that they do not have the capacity, or they don't have the ability, or they don't have the intelligence to also go and open one business. So she says that you have that capacity. And in the other reading of it, it will mean that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even when you are earning, your earning is not for yourself. You do not earn for the sake of your own self, for your own home, for your own person, for your own children. Your earning is also for the poor, for the needy, for the destitute, for the orphans, for the widows, for jihad, and for so many other purposes. Just as you use upon yourself, in the same way, even there your niyat is so that your earning may be of benefit and of use to so many other people. So this is your character, this is your akhlaq, this is your beautiful akhlaq, that your earning is also for the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for the makhluq. This was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's lifestyle. We can see that it came, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to him so much, but on the other hand, his spending was just like that. Not on his own lavish home and lavish this and lavish that, nothing of that nature. Of course, again, I repeat that we are not told that we must also give away everything and live in one small 2x2 room. That was what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose for himself. But I repeat that fact which is just coming to mind now about the wuzu dua, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us that make this dua after wuzu. Allahumma ighfir li zambi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. And I have said many times that it is understandable that the person has made wuzu, so now he's asking Allah ta'ala for forgiveness of sins. Because the wuzu water can wash his hands, it can wash his face, it can wash his feet. But the wuzu water cannot wash his heart. What about the malice and the greed and the pride and the arrogance and all the other filth that is in the heart? So he's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, oh Allah, purify my heart also. Forgive my sins, that is what it means. That, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq of making sincere tawbah. That now if it means that I'm owing people monies, then I must make sure that I return to whomsoever whatever is due. If I have digested and devoured the properties of orphans and widows, no matter how much I may have got in my possession, even if it now makes me A person that has to ride a bicycle, if I have to return everybody's properties, I will do so because I'm making tawbah. Every wuzu I'm saying, Allahumma khfirli zambi. But together with that, so now he's making tawbah that Allah Ta'ala must purify his heart also. But then together with that dua, immediately, wasi'li fi dari. Give me spaciousness in my home. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have said every ummati must make dua that Allah must give him just a 2x2 room. But he was concerned that the ummat cannot live like that. That kind of sacrifice they cannot make. So he said they want spaciousness. He didn't say lavishness. Why? Because this person, when he's single, he can live in one room. Now when he's going to get married, then he will require another room. Then for visitors, then for his children, for his family members, then for entertaining his guests. So if the person is asking for spaciousness, there's nothing wrong with that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching him to make dua for that. And give barakat in my rizq and sustenance also. Because if he's going to have a spacious home, now when visitors are going to come, now he doesn't have anything to give them to eat. So look at the wisdom of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the beauty of his duas also. It is mu'jizat. His duas are also mu'jizat. That you are asking for a spacious home, now Allah Ta'ala gave you a spacious home. Now the rent, light, water bills will also be higher. And the visitors will come too. They'll say that so and so has got a big home, so we can go and sleep there. So now you're asking Allah for extra risk, barakat in your risk also, so that you may be able to entertain those guests. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. We will continue with this hadith sharif inshallah, but there are many, many lessons to be learned from it. If only we had the time. As students have at the madrasas, then this one hadith, it takes weeks sometimes just to discuss, that to doing it 3 hours a day. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal, bring into our lives that akhlaq and that character and those teachings and those beautiful morals of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the entire ummah is facing around the world, and especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan. May Allah ta'ala give hidayat to the enemies of Islam. And may Allah ta'ala give sabr-e jameel and ajr-e azim to those who have lost their brothers, sisters, parents, children as shaheeds. And give them the highest abode, those shuhada, may Allah give them the highest abode in Jannat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.